Welcome in to First Take, your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and also simulcast on ESPN News. I'm Jonathan Hood, in for Jason Fitz. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Quoting, your home insurance just got easier with Progressive's Home Quote Explorer. Quote and buy all online at progressive.com. That's progressive.com. Glad that you're in today. Don't forget, you can follow me on Twitter at TweetJHood and at ESPN Radio. Our big overarching topic for First Take, Your Take is regarding Dak Prescott. Of course, it's the Cowboys and whether that Prescott's going to get paid or not. The question is, can the Cowboys win a Super Bowl with Dak Prescott? That's the bigger question than, is he going to get tagged? Is he going to get a Mahomes-like deal? Because ultimately, we have to focus on the field. As polarizing as the Cowboys are, some are for, some are against the Cowboys, but either way, people are talking about them because of Jerry Jones, because of Jerry World. And so we're asking your thoughts about Dak Prescott. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Can the Cowboys win with Dak Prescott as their quarterback? We're talking to you about that right here on First Take, Your Take. Another story is regarding Myles Garrett. The Browns finalized a massive 5-year extension worth $125 million with their star pass rusher, Myles Garrett. The deal is worth a total of $144 million over 7 years. That would make Garrett the highest paid non-quarterback in the National Football League. And so the last time that we thought about Myles Garrett long form was what happened where Garrett had 10 sacks in 10 games last season. He was on his way to yet another, you know, quality year for someone who's 24 years of age. He was suspended the final 6 games of the season for hitting Mason Rudolph, the Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback, and using his own helmet in a skirmish to the end of their game back on November 14th. The NFL reinstated Garrett in February. So we know on the field he's a dominant pass rusher, but he was involved in that skirmish, that incident with Mason Rudolph. Garrett thought that he heard a racial slur coming from Mason Rudolph, so he started to swing. And so that is an incident that happened with Myles Garrett. It should not define him. I think that we can look at the resume and say, boy, he can really play. And then, oh, that fight, man, is he someone that's going to go off every time that he hears a racial slur or something happens on the field? It was one of those most really ugly, low light incidents that happened in the NFL last year. You don't want to see players fighting out there. A guy's got a helmet and he's swinging because he heard a racial epithet, something that he did not want to hear. And so the thing is that now people look at Garrett and wonder, okay, so is he a problem player? Is he someone that's going to fly off the handle and do this again? And then you wonder from the Browns standpoint, is the juice worth the squeeze when it comes to Garrett? I say it is. Yeah, you want to have this player in place. Yeah, you know that he can be a cornerstone for your franchise for years to come. They paid him like that. He's going to be with the franchise. But I don't believe that the Garrett incident is just the period on the sentence of his career. It's part of the resume, but it's not exactly who he is moving forward. Unless there's something else that happens where he flies off the handle. So a big conversation today on First Take, and the big picture topic was, how confident are you that Myles Garrett will avoid future incidents? So Stephen A. Has no concerns about Garrett and hopes that he's learned from what happened with Mason Rudolph. So the conversation is with Stephen A. and Max Kellerman and Lewis Riddick regarding Myles Garrett.
I'm very confident because I don't think he's a stupid guy. The fact of the matter is, it was very, very foolish and irresponsible for him to do what he did. I thought that the suspension, in the interest of full disclosure, if we recall, I thought that the suspension should have been longer. I wasn't saying like a full season or anything like that, but I thought at least a few games into this upcoming season, just to remind everybody that that's certainly something you can't tolerate. You can't take off a quarterback's helmet and then swing it and connect with his head. You cannot do that, even though to some degree it was instigated by that quarterback. Nevertheless, Myles Garrett lost his way, and it was foolish of him to do, and it was a very dangerous thing for him to do, and you've got to set the example if you're the National Football League, not just by suspending him for that season, but a few games into this season. But I ain't blind. He's 24 years of age. He's had 23 and a half sacks the last 2 seasons in the National Football League. He's only entering his 4th year. Again, he's 24 years of age. He is a superstar in the making in terms of his position. I mean, outside of Aaron Donald, who are we not going to mention his name in the same breath as. And so when you look at it from that perspective, combined with what the Cleveland Browns are trying to build there, you got a new coach in Stefanski, you got a new GM in Berry, you've got Odell Beckham Jr. and Jarvis Landry there, and those boys with Baker Mayfield as your quarterback, with Chubb and Hunt as your running backs. You're loaded, and you can make things happen potentially. You don't look at a young lion like this and hold that against him into perpetuity and allow this to stain his career. You let others do that, but you as an organization that has his rights and has him wearing your uniform, you take care of him to the best of your abilities, because this guy is going to help you win football games. And by the way, I think it was a one-time incident. I don't consider him to be somebody that would be stupid enough to do something like this again. We move on, we forgive, we don't forget, but we forgive and we move forward and give an opportunity for this guy to have a second chance to redeem himself. I'm totally in support of it. I think he's worth every penny, and I'm glad he got the money.
Sure, I'm happy for him that he got paid. He deserves it as a player. And recall that I defended him. It's like the only one, really,
you did.
One of few, who defended him in the Mason Rudolph incident. I felt Mason Rudolph instigated. I thought he then continued to do it, raised the stakes, the whole thing. And I, in fact, was not a popular stance to take. It's not that I think what Myles Garrett did eliminates him from, you know, huge contracts in the future. And I think he earned his on the field. But to say that I'm totally confident he'll never have another incident, no, I'm not. And the reason is not just the Mason Rudolph incident. Let me start by saying, yes, Myles Garrett's smart. You hear him talk. You see, he's an intelligent guy. He is cultured. He has interests other than football, and is a cerebral guy. Those things are all true, but we are all human beings with impulses, with lesser impulses. And some of us, and it's not always connected to how smart you are or how cultured you are, have a problem controlling those impulses in the moment of truth. He may be one of those guys, because it's not like he didn't already have a reputation as being somewhat dirty. Recall the Trevor Siemian incident against the Jets, right? He had multiple penalties called against him and ended Simeon's season. So afterwards, he was like, look, people on this team, people who know me in this locker room, they know what I'm about. It's true. If you talk to Myles Garrett, I'm sure, and you hear him in interviews, you see that he's considerate and he is introspective and he knows right from wrong clearly. That's different than a guy who, like, is a hothead, or a guy who in those moments the impulse gets the better of him. We've seen that, all of us. That's been true of all of us. But we've seen that from Myles Garrett in highly public incidents so far. He was not chastened by the Siemian incident, because then the Mason Rudolph incident happened. We'll see if he's chastened by this. This was so public, and the outcry was so great that perhaps it will. But it's one thing to understand something intellectually, and it's another thing to change emotionally. I would be a little wary were I the Browns.
Yeah, I would say I'm hopeful that he'll avoid similar incidents, you know, in the future, because look, obviously that was something, and just to go on the record myself and say, look, that was something that I was very disturbed by when I saw it. And look, I played the game at that level. I understand that emotions run high. I understand that sometimes you have thoughts in your head when you're playing the game that, you know what, you wouldn't necessarily want to have everyone else know what you're thinking and the kind of mind frame that you put yourself in order to play the game at the professional level. That still doesn't excuse you swinging what amounts to a weapon at someone's exposed head. That just doesn't excuse that. So I guess in that regard, I think going forward, I would hope that Myles has reviewed the situation enough and talked to enough people about it and kind of looked inside himself enough to say, hey, look, that's something I can't ever repeat again. And I would hope, and I would assume, obviously, that Jimmy and Dee Haslam, the owners of the Cleveland Browns, given the investment that they have made in Myles and the way in which they have stood behind him from day one up until now, when they are giving him a contract that is obviously very, very rich and very, very market setting in terms of how you would characterize it, I would hope that they have vetted this situation to the point where they reasonably can deduce that Myles won't engage in this kind of behavior going forward again, unless there's something that they don't know. Can you ever just absolutely guarantee it? No, Max, and you laid that out. But obviously, well, I mean, you know what? The game is about managing risk. It's about managing risk on the field. It's about managing risk when you're signing people to contracts. Mm-hmm. Look, Miles has earned this. I mean, he is he's truly an elite player. He has 30 and a half sacks in 37 games played. 32 tackles for loss. That's enough said right there. And Stephen A., as you said, he's 24 years old. He's still going to get better.
So a great conversation there, you know, because I think that's one of the best conversations that we've heard on First Take for this episode this Wednesday, going back and forth about Myles Garrett. He's a terrific player. And I just don't think that this incident defines him. It's not the period at the end of the sentence. As we do this on First Take, Your Take, Jonathan Hinton for Jason Fitz on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and also on ESPN News. We turn to Emmett Golden, afternoon show host for ESPN Cleveland, also part of our ESPN Radio family. Emmett joins us here on First Take, Your Take. Emmett, Jonathan Hood, thanks so much for your time.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I want to get your thoughts first about Myles Garrett. I've been saying that, you know, the incident that happened with Pittsburgh was unfortunate. He was suspended and learned from it. When you heard about his new deal that was signed by Cleveland, what was your initial reaction?
My initial reaction was it didn't feel like half a billion that Mahomes got. Mm-hmm. When you look at $125 million, I felt like, hey, maybe Myles could get a little more than that. I'm sure that his agent enjoys hearing that. But, kind of in reference to the Mayfield situation, that definitely was out of character for Myles Garrett. And I know that's the last time that we saw him on the field, and many people go, how can you reward a guy who did something like that? Myles Garrett, from what I know of him and been around him a lot being here in Cleveland and covering the team, he is one of the most soft-spoken gentlemen, one of the nicest guys, whether he's interacting with his teammates or interacting with kids and fans around training camp and around the stadium. So I completely understand why the Browns decided to give him this extension. At night doesn't fully present who Myles Garrett is, and I think who he will be going forward in his life.
Emmett, we're going to reconnect here because your line is not great, but what I gleaned from what you told us is that that Garrett is a really good player on and off the field, especially off the field, because that does matter, especially in the community. And so he is, when you look at that deal, yeah, it's a terrific deal for the Browns, but it just solidifies the building blocks and the cornerstones for this franchise. You know, when it comes to Cleveland, when I look at this team on both sides of the football, I believe that this team should be a playoff team, but everything is based on Baker Mayfield. Let's go back and talk to Emmett about this, you know, with the Garrett deal. So, Emmett, what does that say about the organization? Because there's a commitment to winning by having Garrett in place. So as you look at the organization now, what does that deal say for the organization moving forward?
Pieces that they demand help
Yeah, that's not going to work. Emmett Golden from ESPN Cleveland. We appreciate his time. But from what I can understand there, I believe Emmett was saying that. So I believe that that's what we got from it. So we will go. Let me just tell you when it comes to the issue with Baker Mayfield and the Browns. You know, we talked so much about the Cowboys and what the Cowboys will bring to the table for this upcoming season, whether or not Dak Prescott's going to get paid. Here's what I look at with the Browns. The Browns lost 43-13 on opening day against the Tennessee Titans, and it never got much better. They finished 6-10 under Freddie Kitchens. And on paper, the Browns should be playoff contenders. Mayfield has obvious talent. Not many teams have a group of skill position players like Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt and Odell Beckham Jr. and Jarvis Landry and Austin Hooper. Again, on paper, when you look at a depth chart, man, that looks like a terrific team. The offensive line could be one of the NFL's best. Everything I read, you look at what he's brought to the table, or what the Browns bring to the table for that offensive line. They still have a lot of highly drafted talent on defense. But the Browns fired Kitchens, and they hired Kevin Stefanski. Stefanski was the offensive coordinator for the Minnesota Vikings. But here's a number that really is stunning, right? Incredibly, Stefanski will be the Browns' ninth coach in 13 seasons. ninth coach in 13 seasons, counting the 2018 interim coach Greg Williams. So see, you take a look at the Browns, right? And you think, oh, all they need is a head coach, a new head coach. Nine coaches in 13 seasons. And something else that might be startling is that Stefanski, even though in name and what he did with the Vikings is good, now that he's the head coach for the Browns, Stefanski doesn't have all that much more experience than Kitchens. And he took over the Minnesota Vikings coordinator spot late in 2018. He has never been a coordinator before that. He had a fine 2019 season running the offense for the Vikings, but Kitchens was good in 2018. There's a scary parallel there where Stefanski feels fresh. It feels new. But at the same time, Kitchens also had a terrific year in 2018 with the Browns. And say, oh, you can say, well, oh, that's different. Well, to me, if the Browns underachieve, it's on the offense. Specifically, it's on Baker Mayfield. When you have nine coaches in 13 seasons and Baker's had a number of coaches that he's had to deal with, okay, so at some point, it's got to be on the quarterback. As we turn to Emmett Golder from ESPN Cleveland, Emmett, I just look at the Browns organization. Myles Garrett having the signing from him is great, but I really believe that when you look at both sides of the football, there's quality on both sides of the football for the Browns. But if the Browns underachieve, when's it time to look at Baker Mayfield?
Oh, you have to look at them right now. Like, this is the year. You know, last year was, you could dismiss it and go, you know what, you had a guy in Freddie Kitchen that maybe got over his skis a little bit, right, that, you know, was known to be a play caller but didn't seem like he really stuck to his game plan week in and week out. Well, Kevin Stefanski, you've seen him and what he's been able to do in Minnesota. So you look at the talent that they have and the talent that has been brought in this season, there's no reason for Baker Mayfield to not produce and for the Cleveland Browns to not play well. And if they're not playing well, you're going to either look at the head coach or you're going to look at the quarterback, because you got two stud receivers, one of the best running backs in the NFL, a really good tight end, and the defense is pretty solid as well. So it is definitely time. This is a year for Baker Mayfield. He will decide whether he gets a big contract from the Cleveland Browns depending on how he plays this year.
Emmett Golder from ESPN Cleveland with me, Jonathan Hood, on First Take. Your take is, I'm in for Jason Fitz on ESPN Radio and ESPN News presented by Progressive Insurance. So what I was asking you before, Emmett, it was just talking about the state of the organization. When you look at Myles Garrett and you were mentioning earlier about the kind of person that he is on and off the field, was it safe for the Browns organization that they have locked in Garrett as a cornerstone for the franchise?
Well, I think it means that they fully support him and everything he said that happened against the Pittsburgh Steelers in Mason Rudolph. And also feel like they believe that's not Myles Garrett. And anybody that's been here in Cleveland and had an opportunity to cover and be around Myles, you realize it. I mean, Myles Garrett is a gentleman that had a fan punch him in the face one day, and he didn't retaliate. So if he's able to show, you know, that type of self-control off the field, then you kind of give him the benefit of the doubt of saying, you know what, it was a really bad night, and they obviously believe the accusations that he made against Mason Rudolph. So he's a talent. Nobody can deny that. The Myles Garrett I know is a solid, good person, and I think the Browns believe that as well.
Emmett, I'm glad you spent some time. I just want to get your perspective, because along with the Dak Prescott news or lack of news regarding his deal, the Myles Garrett really resonates in a big way. So Browns in the playoffs this year, right? Right?
Oh, no doubt about it. No question. I might fly back to Vegas and put another $100 on to make the Super Bowl like I did last year.
And what about the year before that?
It hasn't been a wise investment for me, but what can I say? I kind of bleed brown and orange. I can't help it.
Okay, you need to see a doctor for that. Emmett, as always, I appreciate it. Thanks for coming on the show.
No problem. I'm going to go throw my phone away now.
Okay. Emmett Golden from ESPN Cleveland with us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. All right. Coming up, again, our phone lines are open, 888-729-3776, 888-SAY-ESPN. Can the Cowboys win a Super Bowl with Dak Prescott? That's one of our big topics today on First Take, Your Take. We'll talk about Jimmy Butler as well. Jimmy Butler wants nothing on the back of his jersey, and we'll hear First Take weigh in on that next. First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. Jonathan Hood in for Jason Fitz. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. All of our guests we're going to have, they appeared on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Our big topic of the day is regarding Dak Prescott and the Dallas Cowboys. If you are against the Cowboys, if you're for the Cowboys, or if you find it an interesting story, Dak Prescott could be able to have a big deal, or he could be getting the franchise tag. And when Adam Schefter, as well as Chris Mortensen, tell us that more than likely it's going to be the franchise tag for Dak Prescott, I believe them. And I believe that Dak Prescott is one of the upper echelon quarterbacks in the NFL. And we know for sure that in the NFL, it is about trying to get right offensively, trying to get the best you can. I mean, Patrick Mahomes is at the top of the list with Kansas City. And I go back to the Mike Sando piece from TheAthletic.com. A year ago, almost to the date, he's always been very good when he worked for us here at ESPN and now at TheAthletic.com talking about tiers when it comes to quarterbacks. And in that top tier, he had Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady and Drew Brees and Patrick Mahomes. He talked about Phillip Rivers and Ben Roethlisberger, Russell Wilson, as far as tier one quarterbacks, based on his conversations with executives around the league. In that tier two, again, we're talking about a year ago, last year, Matt Ryan was on this list. Carson Wentz was a tier two quarterback. Matt Stafford, Deshaun Watson, Jared Goff, Baker Mayfield was on that list. Tier three was Cousins, and it was Cam Newton, who's now with New England, and Dak Prescott. And a couple of quotes from this when it comes to Dak Prescott. You know, when they got Amari Cooper, he really ascended, so one guy said. Throw in an offensive line, the running back, and then add Randall Cobb in the slot. I think he could be a tier two quarterback, and that could be a low number. I could see him winning 12 or 13 games and having people come back and saying, oh, he's closer to being a number one. Those are just some of the executives around the league on off the record talking about Dak Prescott. And so I think he's better than a tier three quarterback. I think he's a tiered two quarterback, but it's all about winning more than just Washington and the Giants. He's just got to continue to get better. The contract situation does not resonate with me as much as it does for some. Like, when's Dak going to get his money? Is he going to get money? The negotiations are what they are. Now, I've been through them. A number of people I know have gone through them. It's going to happen. Jerry Jones is a master negotiator, as you and I both know. This time last year, I was doing shows talking about Zeke. Whether or not Zeke Elliott's going to get paid. Did Zeke get paid? Yes. And the same thing will happen with Dak. It's much ado about nothing when it comes to the contract situation. What it comes down to is on the field. Can Dak get it done on the field? Can the offense get it done on the field? Because in this league, it's about trying to get the best out of your quarterback and your offense to be as powerful and as productive as possible. And I don't know why Dak Prescott can't get that done. How come the offense can't get it done? I know Dak is probably just like, wow, every time I look around, people are talking about my contract. Well, really, the focus has to be on the field. And that's why I'm asking you the question, can the Cowboys win a Super Bowl with Dak as their quarterback? It's going to be a deal that's more than likely 4 or 5 years, maybe longer than that, depending on what they come up with. But Dak is going to be the quarterback moving forward. The Cowboys are not going to tank to try to get Trevor Lawrence or someone else out of the college ranks. It's going to be Dak. And they just have to build weapons around him. It's a good team. Is it good enough to get to the Super Bowl in the next, say, 2-3 years? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Also still to come, some thoughts about Jimmy Butler and why he's choosing not to put a message on his jersey. Let's go to the phone lines to talk to you, Brad in Illinois, with Jonathan Hood on First Take, your take on ESPN Radio. Hey, Brad.
Hey, Jonathan, how you doing?
I'm good.
Okay, yeah, so can they win a Super Bowl with Dak Prescott? The short answer is yes. I think you can win a Super Bowl with Brad Johnson. I think you can win one with Dak Prescott. But I think the better question is, can Dak go out and get you a Super Bowl? And that's where I think the question is, because to me, in my opinion, all he's proven is that he can dominate a mostly rebuilding division and get you to the playoffs. But when it comes down to actual crunch time and him having to put the team on his shoulders, I haven't seen that. So it's gonna be based off the weapons he has at receiver, how Zeke is, and how they can rebuild that defense. And that's what's going to get him over the hump.
Glad you checked in, Brad. Appreciate your phone call. Leaves line open. 888-729-3776 is our phone number. Atlanta, Georgia, here is Sideline Mike on ESPN Radio. Hey, Sideline.
Jay Hood, what's going on, brother?
What's cracking, Mike?
Now, you got to understand, saying, man, I'm a long suffering Falcon hater. I thought I left the Falcons in 1981 when the Dallas Cowboys came back from 17 down in a playoff game. And you got to understand, being from Atlanta, as trash as our team was since they've been here, when you had the blackout rule, if the Falcons were at home, we wouldn't watch the game. You couldn't see the game. You know, we love when they went on the road. And when you look at this part of the world, there's a reason why you're either a Redskin or Cowboy fan, you're a Steeler or a Miami Dolphin fan. Okay, that's what you saw during the week the team was playing at home. So when you look at me being a Cowboy fan, and I look at what Jerry Jones has done with his team, I look at his philosophy, I look at the coaches he's hired, I look at the whole thing. The football gods are not giving him anything else. I got a 27-year-old son and a child about to be 21 on tomorrow that have never seen the Cowboys do anything in their entire life. And this is karma. It's the football gods. Dak Prescott can win a Super Bowl, but it comes down to coaching, philosophy, play calling. When you had the best offensive line in the game, you couldn't get anything. Your defense couldn't stop nobody. You just think about how many leads they gave up in playoff games before Dak was even a quarterback. So the Dallas Cowboys, being my team, will not win a Super Bowl. I don't care who the quarterback is, as long as Jared Jones owns this team.
All right. I'm glad you checked in, Sideline. I appreciate your telephone call. You know, and we talk about polarizing, not just the organization, but Jerry Jones. Jerry Jones is there as general manager, owner, the guy that pops the popcorn, parks the cars. He wants to be that guy at the top of the heap. He's always been that guy. And for the average Cowboy fan that I know, just like Sideline Mike there, same thing. They are just not happy that Jerry Jones is running things, not just as the owner, but just has his hands in the pie when it comes to the draft and when it comes to free agency and being the money guy. But this is who he is. I mean, to me, it's either blank or get off the pot when if you're a Cowboys fan. If you don't like Jerry Jones, then maybe you shouldn't be a Cowboys fan. It's as simple as that. Like, that's not changing. He's going to preside over that team as long as he wants to and have his own press conference before his head coach has a press conference after games. It's just who he is. So it's kind of like if you're a longtime fan of the star, a big fan of the Dallas Cowboys, you know that Jerry Jones comes with that. And if you consider that baggage, then you have to go along with it. And if not, then root for another team. Simple as that. There's a lot of teams around the NFL where fans are fans of teams and maybe not fans of ownership, but this is what it is. You know, it's part of being a fan, which you have to endure. 888-SAY-ESPN is our phone number of Philadelphia. Here's Philly Carl on First Take. Your take with Jonathan Hood right here on ESPN Radio. Hey, Philly.
Hey, what's going on, man? Look, the first thing I'm going to say is the Cowboys will never win another Super Bowl because of the coaching staff. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to address, man, I did not like First Take at all today because I don't like the angles that Stephen A. took as far as saying that, you know, Miles should be suspended longer. And I don't – here's the thing. And I want people to YouTube this if they don't believe me. The dirtiest hit I've seen in the last 5 years is when that player was on the sideline face down and Gronk dropped an elbow to the back of his head. Nobody ever calls Gronk a dirty player, and they don't bring it up. So the question I'm asking you is why do they continuously even try to suggest that Miles might be dirty? And why do they do that? And they act like the dirtiest hit they didn't see was Gronk to the back of the head of a defensive player, and it's not even talked about.
Well, let me tell you why, and I appreciate your telephone call, because it's flavor of the moment. It's not like we've never seen chaos on the field of play before. It's flavor of the moment. And people look at Myles Garrett and believe that that's the period at the end of the sentence, and I totally disagree with that. I can't sit here and tell you that he's okay, everything's going to be fine, because that action is wrong. We have to call it out the way we see it. Everybody sees that was wrong. If he was called the N-word, if there was something racially that was said to him, then if he reacts that way, it's like, okay, you know, he's going after Mason Rudolph. He's going after the Steelers for what was said. But to suggest that he's not deserving of the money or it's a head scratcher, why would you sign that? He signed the deal, and they signed him because he's a really solid pass rusher. He's right there with Khalil Mack when it comes to rushing the quarterback, so you pay him as such. And it's not one of the, believe me, over the years in sports, there have been players that have done a lot worse, as you well know, across the sports landscape that have been paid handsomely, where teams turn a blind eye to it and they say, well, we know the player can do this and we know he's healthy. Thumbs up, pay him. Myles Garrett makes his first egregious mistake on the field of play, and people think that he's a maniac. He'll be a maniac if he does something like this again. People will wonder, is there an issue? Does he have a screw loose? Is he just going nuts just because if he does it for a second time or a third time or a fourth time? Does he have anger issues? All those things will happen. All I know is that it was just one incident, and that should not define him, and I will not define him as such. There's so many players that we see, that we watch on a regular basis as fans, and we believe these one percenters, these players that can do things that you and I can't do, are perfect. You and I are not perfect. Why are those players put in a position where they're perfect? We talk about them. Sports should be talked about, for me as a sports fan, is about whether or not the player is good or bad, whether or not the team is good or bad. Is that player improving or going in the wrong direction? That's just for me as a sports fan. You may look at it differently. I'm not telling you how to be as a sports fan. I'm just talking about me. But the idea that we can psychoanalyze a player and look at that player based on one incident and define him as such is wrong to me. That is not his career. That is an incident that happened in his career, and he deserves every bit of that. And I'll look on YouTube for that Rob Gronkowski hit. I vaguely remember that, and I'll look it up as we talk about this during the break. All right, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 is our phone number. We are getting your take on the Dallas Cowboys and Dak Prescott. It looks like it's not going to be a long-term deal. Sounds like it's going to be the franchise tag. Can the Cowboys win a Super Bowl with Dak as their quarterback long-term? We talk about it as we move forward here on First Take Your Take. Jonathan Hood in for Jason Fitz on ESPN Radio. First Take Your Take on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and also on SiriusXM Channel 80. I'm Jonathan Hood. I'm in for Jason Fitz. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and all of our guests are on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. 40-24, the quarterback record for Dak Prescott of the Dallas Cowboys. 97 touchdowns versus 36 interceptions, and he's been in the league since 2016. I'll take that for my quarterback on my team, a two-time Pro Bowler. I'll take that. AP Offensive Rookie of the Year in 2016. Yeah, Dak Prescott is one of these upper echelon quarterbacks in the league that still has room to grow. All these quarterbacks have room to grow, except for Tom Brady, because he's the GOAT. Tom Brady, by the way, ended all those Gen X conversations about Montana versus Elway, who's better, who's best. And then here comes Brady just slaughtering everybody with his rings and all those championships with the New England Patriots. But when it comes to Dak Prescott, you know, Max Kellerman said it earlier on First Take Your Take. You know, he's like, well, the deal he's looking for is not going to be a deal that we have seen with Patrick Mahomes. It didn't have to be. It didn't have to be. Mahomes earned the deal by winning a Super Bowl and being dynamic and running that offense to perfection for Andy Reid in Kansas City. We understand that the Mahomes deal is the ceiling. We know that. Now, Dak more than likely will not reach the ceiling. But it tells a great story over the next few years about how quarterbacks will be played. If the top of the top is Mahomes, then what is next as far as paying quarterbacks? Well, Dak will get his, but right now it seems likely it's just going to be the franchise tag. And by the way, that's not bad either. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 is our phone number. Ken is in Pennsylvania with us on First Take Your Take on ESPN Radio. Hey, Kenny.
Hey. Yeah, the funny thing, my son lives right outside of Dallas, so I go and visit him, and he shows me outside of the Dallas offices. There's a Ring of Honor out there. Barry Switzer's in it. Jimmy Johnson's not. Ugh. As soon as Jimmy Johnson is in that Ring of Honor, remember Don Meredith told us Dallas Cowboys was God's team. That's why there was a hole in the original stadium so he could watch. Right. God really likes Jimmy Johnson. Can you think of a human being that hasn't really had a much better life? I think God really likes Jimmy Johnson. As soon as Jimmy Johnson's in that Ring of Honor, Dallas Cowboys will win a Super Bowl.
I love that. That's really, that's an interesting point. And you went back there a little bit. I thought about that original stadium that I grew up watching, and many of us did before Jerry World. That's really an interesting point. It is petty for Jimmy Johnson to not be a bigger part of the Cowboys circle, right? Because yeah, Jimmy Johnson won those Super Bowls, and so did Jerry Jones. It was a team effort. And the idea that Jimmy Johnson is better known as a great college coach and other things doesn't make sense to me. That should be a better relationship. That should be buttoned up for sure. I agree with that. Well, we thank you for listening to First Take Your Take right here on ESPN Radio and also on ESPN News. Our thanks to Connor and James and Shannon on the other side of the glass. Coming up, it'll be Stan Verrett and Neil Everett with ESPN Radio Afternoons. Thanks for listening and watching First Take Your Take.